This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Lift your voice and give Him the glory for taking the curse, for breaking the curse. He has broken the curse. He had taken it out of the way. He has nailed it to the cross. Satan has no ground anymore. The argument has been destroyed. The ordinance that had been written against you had been taken out of the way. All the charges, all the case that had been raised against you, you have been declared not guilty. You have been discharged. You have been acquitted. Can you give Him glory? Give Him glory. He has prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, He has prevailed. He has prevailed on your case. He has prevailed in your family. Can you magnify Him tonight? Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Give Him worship. Exalt His name. Magnify His name. There's no case against you anymore. There's no case against you anymore. His blood has paid for every trespass. You stand forgiven tonight. You stand forgiven tonight. The argument has been destroyed. Bless His name. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Give Him worship. Lord, we love You. We magnify You. We exalt You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Blessed be Your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshiped. Hallelujah. You may take your seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Job chapter 3 and verse 26. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. We have been looking at the subject of curses as a ground for spiritual warfare. And somebody might be asking, the things we have considered so far that open the door to curse are fundamentally grounded on violations of God's law. But I have checked my life. In my walk with God, there are no violations. I have been faithfully following God. I have been faithfully led a life that has been led by the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Proverbs did clearly say that costless shall not come. In Proverbs 26 and verse 2. But how come I am seeing the manifestations and the symptoms of curses around my life? How do you explain that? The passage where we read in Romans said, as by one man sin entered into the world, and the presence of sin therefore legitimized the entrance of death. So death had passed upon all men because all have sinned. And then in Job, we saw someone with that person's particular case. This is a person that never took anything for granted. He covered all the angles. There was no occasion of violation in his life. There was no occasion that can be used as a violation in the lives of his children. He took all the precautionary measures to the letter, such that just in case you want to argue that it is because he committed a trespass, he went out of the path the Lord has set, you will not have any of such argument against him. The Bible said that besides the fact that Job was a righteous man that eschewed evil, he ensured that he covered all the angles around his family. When his children go to hang out without his supervision, he ensures that he offers sacrifices on their behalf. It's even possible that the children did nothing wrong when they went out of his sight, but he never took anything for granted. That same man now comes to say that with all this my best effort, trouble still came. This was a man that Satan admitted in Job chapter 1 verse 10 that God has placed a hedge around his person. God has placed a hedge around his family. And God has placed a hedge on every of his substance. On every side, there was no breach, there was no gap, there was no window for an intrusion. And God has blessed him. It was on such a man that trouble still came. If that is your trouble tonight, I want to let you know that we are in a broken world. Evil is inevitable in this world. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In me you will have peace. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why did we begin by hammering on the issue of violations? The reason is because every child of God has the hedge of God around their lives. A hedge that places a restraining order on the enemy. So the reason why you must live in obedience to God is because it is rebellion that breaks that hedge. When the hedge is broken, the intrusion of the enemy becomes a legal intrusion on the ground of Ecclesiastes that says, whosoever break the hedge, the serpent will bite. So we want to make sure that if there are any legitimate intrusion, we deal with them first. Remember, the enemy will avoid direct confrontation as much as possible. The enemy will prefer to find a legitimate ground to attack you. So when we deal with the subject of curses that stands on the ground of rebellion, what we're trying to deal with is all the hedge that have been broken. We need to mend the fence first. But if all the hedge are intact, does it guarantee that trouble will not come? If you are still here in this life, the answer is no. The reason is because it's not only personal rebellion against God that is the only ground for a curse to come into the life of a man. A curse that stands on the ground of rebellion is standing on a legitimate ground, and you may not have the capacity to alter it until you mend the fence. However, if there are no breaches, there are other ways that curses can come. And that is what I would like for us to look at tonight. Trusting God that we can manage the time we have left for tonight's prayer meeting to look at some of these critical areas, because I really wish to move on to the next opening that the enemy used to bring warfare against our lives. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. The first way that the enemy can bring a curse on the life of a covenant person whose hedge are intact is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 43. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 43. The backdrop of this passage is the account of the warfare between the Philistines and the Israelites during the reign of King Saul. The Bible said the Philistines marshaled their army against Israel in the territory of Judah. And Saul moved his armies and arrayed them against the Philistine forces in the valley of Elah. However, among the Philistine armies was a champion. The Bible said this champion is by the name Goliath. He was a giant. It's a very popular story we are all familiar with. Now, give me my verse of interest. I'm not going to labor us with the whole story. It's a story that is very popular. But my interest is verse 43. He said, "And the Philistine," referring to Goliath now, "said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods." The first time we were told the story of David and Goliath in children's Sunday school, and this part was read to us, I was amazed. I was in shock. I had a lot of things going through my mind that I couldn't articulate to ask the Sunday school teacher. To begin with, the Bible said Goliath was a warrior from his youth, implying that at this point, he is no longer a youth. Number two, he was a champion. He was a war veteran. Thirdly, he was so armed, cladded all over his body with metals that makes him invincible. All the warriors of Israel dreaded him. The Bible says he insulted them for 40 straight days. like we are in a 40 days fasting. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Everything about Goliath already spelled doom for David. Goliath didn't need to do so much to defeat David. In fact, I loved the way the story was depicted in one of these Bible cartoons, I think by Superbook, when Goliath's armor bearer came to evaluate David, and the way they wrote the script, the armor bearer just turned to Goliath and said, "Breakfast is served." That was a true picture. But what bothered me was, rather than Goliath going to just go and squash David, in this passage, the Bible says Goliath cursed David by his gods. What is it that in all the armory, in all the arsenal, in everything he was, that was already more than enough? Only Goliath was too much for the entire forces of Israel. David was not a warrior. And yet, Goliath still felt the need to release a spell, a curse. Now, when you read that passage, you will think that Goliath just insulted David by his gods. That is a superficial way of reading that passage. In combat, people deploy their most little weapon. That is to tell you that with all the armor on his body, with his size, with the weight of his spear, with the javelin on his shoulder, with the sword, with all of those weapons, he still felt a need that I'm not going to take these people for granted. Every seasoned, experienced warrior understand the principle of never underestimate the enemy. Never underestimate the enemy. You see, it's believers that usually take things for granted, take situations of life for granted. The people of the wicked never take anything for granted. So just in case you are feeling secured in your walk with God, I want you to know tonight that a curse can still come against you because the devil, even though he will prefer to use a legitimate ground, if there are no legitimate ground around you, he will become confrontational. Spells can be packaged together and casted upon you. Yes, in Numbers, when Balak invited Balaam to come and curse Israel, you see the same principle. The idea was for Balaam to come and cast a spell so that Israel will become vulnerable and then they can come physically and get a cheap victory. One major area of spiritual warfare is when people release curses by the agency of spells. Spells are weaponized words that are aided by demons and released on an individual. You get to realize many times that when attempts are made against you without success, a spell can be cast on you so that you become weak in prayer. And then a spell can be cast on you so that you come under a lust, so that you can break the fence that God has placed around you. Spells are very potent. And should I surprise you? spells have destroyed some of our best, some of our most powerful, some of our most trusted hands, some of our greatest valiance. We are cut off through spells. Hallelujah. Let's look at a passage that is very disturbing. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 3. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. What did Elijah do in this context? This was after the confrontation at Mount Carmel. There had been so much iniquity in Israel, and Elijah showed up from nowhere one day and confronted King Ahab and said, "There shall be no rain nor dew except according to my word." And he left. He was taken for granted, like, who is this rascal coming to make empty threats, to have power over nature? After a while, drought hit the land. 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. No rain, no dew. Famine became intense. We are now in the fourth year. And then Ahab said, "Come, this is not normal." There was one madman a very long time ago, some years back, that made some utterances. "Go look for him. Find him for me. Place a bounty on his head." Nobody could track him until eventually one of the righteous men that was remaining in the political structure now found Elijah. And Elijah told him, "Let's meet at Mount Carmel. Tell Ahab and all the priests of Baal to meet me there." And when they came, the whole nation knew that this was a major showdown. The entire priesthood of Jezebel, the entire priesthood of Baal, all the demon horde that had taken over the nation of Israel, they were present that day. And Elijah pulled the dimension of God that had never been seen. There was so much anointing, there was so much grace, such that Elijah was not in a hurry. He gave the prophet, the priest of Baal, the entire day. Until by the time in the evening, during the time of the evening sacrifice, the Bible said, he now told them that, "You guys have tried, you couldn't bring down fire, it is now my turn. But before I call fire, I want you to make my situation as the most impossible that you can make it." They dug trenches around his altar, they soaked his sacrifices over and over and over, three times, that water collected all over the place. And Elijah uttered the prayer of few seconds and fire came. It was a glorious day. And then he now uttered a decree and people rushed the priest of Baal and slaughtered all of them. And then he went and brought intercession and rain fell. I mean, how? What else do you want to see to admit that God is with you? You are a powerful man. You are not a man to be challenged. This is Elijah that long before Ahab came on board, they have sent a platoon of 50 soldiers with their captain to physically arrest him. And he said, "If I be a man of God, let fire fall." They sent a second batch. He repeated it just to show that it's not coincidence. He had entered into God so much that his ability to command the supernatural has become scientific. He can replicate it any day or time. It was this same man. After this major feat, we now come to this passage. You see, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now watch this. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw, that is when Elijah now saw that, what did he do? He arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. At this time, the nation of Israel had become divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Elijah was doing his ministry in the northern kingdom where Ahab was king. By the utterance of this witch called Jezebel, the Bible says Elijah ran for his life to another country, the southern country of Judah. He left his servant there, and that was not enough. When you, from this point, you know that this was the end of Elijah's ministry. Do you think that message was ordinary words? That was an energized word. A word loaded with demons, projected against him. This was the same man that an army was sent against him, and he said, if I be a man of God. This was the same man that the entire priesthood of Jezebel, he single-handedly confronted them and brought all of them down. But when an utterance was packaged by the will of the gods and released against him, what happened to the prophet? What happened to the prophet? That was the end of his ministry. There are a lot of believers that spells have been casted over them, even though they are full of the Holy Ghost. The spell still had devastating impact on them. Yes, Numbers say, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. I want you to know, before you jump into excitement to quote a scripture, try to understand the dynamics that make that passage powerful. Are we following tonight? Goliath cursed David by his gods. He didn't succeed. Jezebel released an utterance to the best of us. That was the end of his ministry. What is the difference between Goliath and, between Elijah and David? I will show us very quickly. The reason why I'm buttressing these issues is to let you know that a spell has no regard for your stature. The same spell that was casted on David and it didn't work, it was casted on Elijah and it worked. He said, the gods do so to me and more, if by this time tomorrow, I don't reduce you like you have done to one of these priests. What is it that makes Jezebel so powerful, so audacious? It is because you understand the dynamics of engaging witchcraft. Second avenue where a curse can come upon a covenant person who is not in violation. Now, this one is a little technical, but I'm going to clarify it. Can we go to 2 Kings chapter 17? We'll read verse 18 to verse 26. 2 Kings 17, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he has said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and from them in the cities of Samaria, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou had removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he had sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. The second way a curse can operate is when you trespass a cursed territory. When you trespass a cursed territory. If you look at this story, we have the account of when, after decades and decades of rebellion, and after ignoring all the warnings of the prophets that God sent to call Israel back into repentance, a point came eventually, God finally gave them up, and they were destroyed by their enemies and taken away into captivity by the Assyrian Empire into Assyria. And in place of the children of Israel, the Assyrian king, who had also defeated other nations such as Babylon, such as Sepharvaim, such as Ava, such as Hamath, all of these other nations that he had defeated, and he took them away from their own land. He gathered all of them and brought them to Samaria. He relocated them. And that's the reason why in the New Testament, you realize that the Jews, that is, those in Judah that were taken to captivity in Babylon and were brought back, they never want to have any relationship with the Samaritans. Do you see the history now? But my point is this. When these strangers came into the land of Israel to live in Samaria, they were not Israelites. They had their own gods in their own nation that they worshiped where they came from. And when they arrived, they don't know Yahweh. They have no relationship with Yahweh. So they continue their life normally, the way they had always lived from where they came from. But the Bible said, suddenly, strange animal attacks broke out. These are not people that are unfamiliar with the wildlife. But this was an unnatural kind of activity of animal attacks going on. These were men that were spiritual. They understood spiritual dynamics. They know when an animal just bites someone and it's a natural thing. And they can also tell the difference when they study the pattern. They say the way lions are killing people, this is not normal. They went and did a check. And their findings was, there is a spirit that lay claim to this territory. And because the inhabitants of these people have no covenant with that spirit, that is why the spirit is unleashing vengeance on them. So they sent a report to the king of Assyria and said, look, the people that you brought to this territory, they don't have a clue the supernatural legalities around this territory. Please, find a way to fix this problem before the spirit that lay claim to this territory kill everybody. If you continue in the story, which we cannot do tonight, you'll notice that the king of Assyria, therefore, went among the children of Israel that he had taken away to exile to Assyria. And he went and selected some Levites and priests from among the children of Israel and relocated them back to Samaria. So it was those priests now that began to educate the people about the ways of Yahweh. And when the people now made those adjustments, even though they didn't totally give up their idols, everything now normalized. What am I saying here? Every territory has spirits that lay claim to it. When you trespass a particular territory by just showing up there, and such a place is under the ownership of a spirit that is opposed to the one you are connected to, there is going to be warfare. These are the explanations for why somebody can gather money, you go and rent a house, you saw a new house, a fine house, you paid for it, you moved into it, and after a few months, all your business went down to zero. It's a cursed ground. It's a territory under the ownership of a spirit. And if you step into those kind of homes, strange disaster will begin to become operational in your life. Are you with me tonight? I think I've told this story before. Several years ago, one of our brethren had produced a music album, and we were planning to do a music video for the song that he had produced. And then we wanted a location in town that can give us a very high height advantage that we can take area shots. This was long ago, before we had drones. So we located one of the structures that happened to be the tallest hotel in the city. And that hotel had been in construction for decades, but as at the time, it had not yet become operational yet. It was still a vacant place. How many of you know that hotel that when you are passing the River Benue, you see it far away? That is the place I'm talking about. When we went to that place, we didn't use the main entrance. We took a different route because of the way we came. So we came through the back And because that place had been vacant for so long, we didn't know that anything was going on there. So we used the back entrance and found our way to the top of the building and began to do our video, music video shots. We kept shooting from different angles. We took aerial shots of the city. We did all of that. And then we decided to say, okay, we're finished. Let's go into the building and even take a look at how the place looked like. So we went into the building and we got into a particular room. And we now relaxed there and began to discuss further how to plan for the editing of the video and all of that. And then while this conversation was going on, suddenly I felt a sharp pain at the back of my head. Now, there is a history to this particular pain. The first time I felt this sharp pain was like, okay, the time we were doing this video was somewhere around 2010, 2011 or so. And then the first time I had this sharp pain was around 1997. That's how many years interval? What? About 13 years. Now, the first time I had this sharp pain was when I was doing ministry in the village. That's where I started ministry. So, all those local dimension of witchcraft, those were where I learned ministry from before we came to the city, where you preach in vernacular and you engage demon power in its native form. Now, one of the days, while I was in the village doing ministry, I decided to visit one of my members. And as I was taking the last turn to enter into the house of that my member, in my mind, I saw a vision of someone that did like this. And then within split of second, I had a sharp pain. And that was my first experience of what they call a spiritual arrow. The pain became chronic within a second. Very sharp pain. I planted my hand on it and began to rebuke it in 2 minutes. That sharp pain that looked like it was going to blow my head off, the pain vanished. I continued and went and visited my member, encouraged them, prayed with them, went back home. 13 years later, I am now in the city. And we are now discussing how the editing of all the shots we are taking and if we will need to go take more shots. While we're about, no challenge, but when we got to this particular room within that hotel facility, and we're having this conversation, sharp pain. I recognized the pain immediately. I just got up and say, guys, I am off. I am finished here. I'm going home. So, such that, just in case you want to continue with this meeting, me, I am gone. So they just got up, packed their camera, kit, tripod, all the things we brought, we packed them up, and then we left. I already knew that we have trespassed the territory of another spirit. So I left. As we left, I thought this was my own personal experience. So while we left, immediately we got out of the hotel. I said, now I am gone. I am no longer in your space. Now get out. Pain. Go now. Before we got to tent, the pain was gone. The following morning, now we were three. One of us used to come from their home, and then I and the other brother that had the music we wanted to produce, we were living in the tent. So I asked him the following morning that there was a reason why demanded that we truncate our discussion yesterday. That place where we went to is a demonic territory. He said, hey, no wonder that the reason why he didn't hesitate when I said, let's go, he felt so sick like he was going to die, and he didn't know why. But it was later that night, during his own personal midnight prayer, when he broke through in the spirit, that was when the sickness left. So I say, wow. So you had it too? He said, yes. Oh, praise God. Unfortunately, we forgot to check on the third brother. So we didn't see him. And then prayers was going on in the tent every day. For 2 straight weeks, I didn't remember. I think the third week, the brother came looking so terrible. I said, bro, what happened? We have not seen you since after we left our video shootout. He said, when we left, he almost died. That he has been sick since that time. In my mind, I felt so guilty. But I couldn't tell him that I was responsible for not telling him. I felt so guilty and I felt so sad that if it only occurred to me, I would have called to check on him at least and let him know that that sickness is not normal sickness. It was a spiritual attack. Hallelujah. Whenever you get to such locations, I want you to know that these are locations that has legitimate demonic presence. What did I say? Legitimate demonic presence. So they own that space. They lay claim to that space. When you come into that space, they can strike you. Are we together? So let me give you a list that you should remember. You may not always know a place that has a legitimate demonic presence. That's why you should not just look for a house and just pay. You might pay and enter into a haunted place. Don't just go anywhere, anyhow. But let me give you a list of the obvious ones. This includes places like shrines, idol temples, strip clubs, haunted houses. And for those of us following us online, this is more common in the Western world. Spiritist seances. Places where people do divination. Locations where occultic activities are practiced. This also includes events and or locations that have been designed to carry out abominable activities. Like clubs, beer clubs, nightclubs, places that they carry out sexual orgies. Wherever anything that is an abomination has been instituted, either by way of an event. For example, up until a few years ago, somewhere not so far away from here, I think, is it during Christmas or during Boxing Day that people used to go nude in the whole place? Was it during Christmas? There's a place in our region here until some believers began to raise intercession and shut it down. Like, these kind of things happen in different parts of the world. Events that what they honor is Satan. What they honor is extreme perversion. What they celebrate is something abhorring to God. Such places, if you go to such locations, either out of curiosity, or you go to such locations just for the purpose of entertainment, or you go to such locations just for the pleasure of it, you expose yourself to legitimate curses. Are we following? So if curiosity pushed you into those kind of places, or you just felt, let me just visit those places to unwind, or some friends got around and told you that let's just go and hang out, and that's the choice of location you go to, I want you to know that you have gone to trespass a cursed territory. For some of those rented apartments that you experience those demonic activities, probably the owner of the facility had done some demonic covenants, have done some human sacrifices there, and have coded some things into that place, such that anybody that comes to live in such an apartment come under the spell. Let me give number three. My time is up. I was really hoping we'll pray. Maybe one of these days, what we're going to do is to just set a particular day aside, and then we'll do a prayer of application. We'll do a prayer of application so that we'll bring the whole list and pick them one after the other and address them in the place of prayer. The third avenue where a curse can still come upon a believer that is walking in covenant with God is through cursed objects. Joshua 6:18. Joshua 6:18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Our Father in the Lord did an extensive work on the subject of the accursed thing. However, the area, the angle where he approached it from are accursed things in terms of things dedicated to God. Now, there's a difference between a curse and an accursed thing. A curse is what we have gone through so far. An accursed thing is a dedicated thing, a devoted thing, something that has been devoted to a particular spirit. Our Father dealt extensively with things that have been dedicated to God. But that's not the only thing that can bring a curse. When an item is dedicated to a demon, to Satan, and you bring such things into your home, you are bringing an accursed thing into your home. And according to this passage, you will bring a curse on yourself. You will make the curse resident as a member of your family. Now, when you bring such an artifact that is dedicated to a demon spirit into your house, such items, such objects becomes legitimate demonic portals for demons to come into your house and operate freely. So, what are the possible ways this happens? This could be in terms of an artifact, a piece of artwork. It could be a jewelry. It could be a decoration that you can hang on your wall, a very beautiful decoration. It could be a cloth. It could be a piece of furniture. Anything at all that contains an occult symbol. Anything at all that bears an occultic image, an occultic sign, or a word that are associated with the enemy. Sometimes we just see beautiful things in the market and buy, and we bring them to our homes. We see beautiful clothes and buy, and we wear them. We see beautiful piece of jewelry, we buy, and the shape of the pendant is the shape of a dragon. You see a beautiful ring, you buy. A ring has the shape of a skull, a human skull, or the shape of a serpent, very beautiful serpent. Or you see a very beautiful jacket, and behind it, you have the image of a masquerade. And you say, it's our culture. It's our culture. You want to be proud. It's our culture. And the image on it is the image of something that is associated with Satan. Or you have a beautiful decoration that you can hang in your room. And it's an embroidery that was delicately weaved with beautiful blending of colors. And the image is that of a dragon. These are all accursed things. Or it could be a beautiful piece of china ware. Or for those of us that love artwork, you go and get a painting. And the image they painted is the image of one idol in antiquity. But it's a very expensive artwork. Some could even be a gift. Somebody loves you so much and deeply want to appreciate you, and they went and bought a gift, and it's a beautiful artwork, but it carries a signature of something that is associated. Now, what I want you to know is this. When you bring such things into your home, nothing may happen out of the ordinary. Life may go on normal. But what you may not realize is the devil loves to hide. So he may not do something that will make you suspicious immediately and say, it was since I brought this thing into my house, that was when this thing began to happen. He may not approach the warfare from that angle. But what he will do to you is, there may be a major breakthrough that is supposed to come that you are not even aware of yet. Those are the ones he will go and block. Since you are not even aware of a promise, a blessing, a divine intervention that is supposed to come your way, that it has hindered, you will not even know that that is what is responsible. We have heard and seen a lot of strange things. There was this couple that just wedded. And after the wedding, the blessing and the favor that should come upon he that findeth a wife. After the wedding, the life of the brother turned around to the negative. Negative things began to happen to him. Things started turning against him. His life began to go down the drain. And he rose up in intercession and he began to pray. He began to pray. He began to pray. He began to pray. And then a moment came. God began to open his eyes that there is an accursed thing in his house. He said, but there is nothing that is carrying the image of the devil in his house. But while he prayed, God began to direct him to where the accursed thing was. And he was directed to a beautiful image. You know these pictures, these paintings of Jesus that they paint. And it was one among the wedding gift somebody gave him and his wife as a wedding gift. So when he took the beautiful picture of Jesus that was beautifully framed, this one that have light, that when you plug it to light, it just, it's like bring the glory of God into the house. He now took the stuff, because God was prompting him that is where the challenge is. He now decided to open it. Lo and behold, there was a charm that was tied inside. When you bring an accursed thing into your house, you have created a demonic portal for unclean spirits. How do you deal with them? Very quickly. I'll just run through it. so that we can find time to pray tonight. Number one, the first one, we saw that it was a spell for Elijah. He took off until he was cut off. His ministry was terminated. Even when angels brought intervention twice, they woke him up, gave him food. He ate. He went back to sleep. Came back, woke him up again, gave him food. He went to the mountain of God. In the mountain of God, in that secured place at Horeb, still, he said, I am done. I am not better than my fathers. He didn't know that he was under a different influence. And that was the end of his ministry. How do you deal with a curse that has been projected through a spell? Because it was projected through an utterance, you must respond like David responded. Can we have 1 Samuel 17 now, verse 45? You must make sure that the devil does not have the final say. When a curse is pronounced against you, you must respond like David did. After the Philistine had cursed David, what happened? Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from off thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That is what you do when there is a spell projected. You respond. You can't be quiet. You must make declarations to reverse the speakings of those spells against your life. Just in case, it is not a physical confrontation that the person spoke those utterances against you. If you begin to notice the patterns in your life and you receive an understanding that this is a product of a spell, you must realize that whoever projected it used utterances. You must also begin to make declarations to reverse that utterance. And then, like David did, you must make declarations of what you want to see in the place of what you want to overturn. Are we following? You must speak. Proverbs 18:21 says, what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. One sure way to arrest the activity of a spell is to engage it with divine anointed declarations and utterances to nullify the impact, to reverse the effect, and also to institute the things you want to see. Hallelujah. Secondly, when you realize, like I did, that you are in an enchanted ground, don't think, live there. What did I say? Make arrangements to relocate. I heard a story several years ago. Some ministers that were close to us, they went for a very high, powerful meeting in Lokoja. And these three ministers, the hotel where they lodged in the night, a demonic dimension of oppression was unleashed, so much so that one of the ministers, he ran from his room and spent the night outside. Hallelujah. Names with her. Spend the night outside. Sometimes, for those of us that travel a lot, you will go to some hotels and then you have paid, checked in, and then you see a painting on the wall. Make sure you look around. Don't just sleep in any hotel anyhow. Some of those paintings are portals. Because you paid for it. If you see a painting that raises a red flag, demand that it be removed. Or they should change your room. Are you with me? Demand that the painting be removed, or they should change your room. Don't take anything for granted. We live in a wicked world. There are some hotels you go and the paintings from the staircase all the way to the room are pornographic paintings. Pornographic paintings. Until the one that you are going to enter, then you see the ultimate pornography. Hung over your bed. How do you think you will sleep alone on that bed that night? And demons will not come for your soul. You must become sensitive of your environment. Are we together? So make arrangements to leave that place. If you notice that there is a legitimate demonic presence there. But if it is a place where you can't live, for example, you bought a new property and then you moved in. In a short while, you began to notice activities of demons. Now, this is your property. You have two options. You can sell that property and go and look for another one. Second option is get ready for war if you don't want to give up the property. And the war may be a protracted one, but there is guarantee you will win eventually. But are you ready to wait? That is the question. If it is a property that you don't want to give up and you legitimately paid for it, what to do is to realize that whatever demonic operations going on there have a legality to that piece of property. So you must go into intercession to find out what is the legality that gives those demons a ground. You must research it. You must ask questions around it. You must ask the people in the neighborhood, people that know the history of the place. You must engage intercession to seek the face of the Lord, to find out what is the thing giving that demon that authority in that place. It's if and only if you can find this, then you can address it and deal with it. It will require priesthood. And when it has been dealt with sufficiently, then you have to dedicate that property to God and institutionalize a new order. Are we following? The third one, which is having to do with demonic objects, cursed artifacts. Scan your entire home and gather any of such things. Do a sanitation and clean up your house of all of such items that are in form of clothes, furniture, artifacts, glasswares, kitchenwares. Go and do a home cleansing. Gather all those things out of your house and anoint your house and dedicate your house. Don't take things for granted, brethren. Some years ago, we got a gift, very beautiful gift for our baby. And When I look at this gift, a very solid, high quality gift, but when I look at it, there is a shape on one part of the gift that looks like there is an eye looking at me. I said, the person that gave us this gift did it out of love. But I will not allow an ignorant love to put me in problem. I took that gift and gave it away. I went and bought that same type of gift of the same quality that was plain. Came and gave my daughter. Don't take things for granted. Can we rise up to pray? I don't know which one applies to you, but these are prayers you don't rush over. You need to go back and do a research. But the ones you can remember tonight, we are going to address them. We are going to address them. Can you lift your voice as we begin to pray?
Can you just go ahead and respond to the Lord very briefly? Part of the items that Reverend was talking about are items that are given, people get for certain reasons, for prosperity, for favor, whatever it is, like the one we have on the screen. This is an obsidian bracelet. And it's trending all over the places where if you are going to go for a job interview, if you have it on your hand, the interviewers, as they are asking you a question, you are stroking it, you are creating an effect of acceptance. And on Facebook in Nigeria here, there is a lady that it is her business. She produces this bracelet for people, for marriages, for a lot of things. And the following that the lady has, many churches don't have it. And that is how much people are becoming, getting into bondage and into curses. Can you just do a very brief audit of your own life and then begin to bring a response to the Lord immediately? There are places where you need to bring repentance. Repentance is a very powerful force in the realm of the spirit. Repentance resets the whole landscape. It removes a right. Repentance destroys legalities. Can you go ahead in a moment and then talk to the Lord in response to the things you have heard, very briefly, in response to the things you have heard? Can you just go ahead and bring response to Him? I don't know why this is coming to my heart, but I'm going to say it. If you have, maybe as a lady, you have had an affair with a man of God before, you brought something crazy over your life, you need to repent specifically of that. And it is important that we see you. Very, very important that we see you to help you with other side details around it. Can you just go ahead and talk to the Lord very briefly, very briefly? Respond to Him very briefly. Oh, mabo safe kaparos kovementaka. Abeto saivovo sobras. Selaraz uzo sevina maaske. Skobo momba ete konvrasi. Suliara nana. Barune zevo sobema. Baraga zo sasivo. You went on tour, you went on vacation. And part of the articles and items you brought back. Many of us are not sensitive to know when the atmosphere around our lives change. A gift came in, the law of entry is activated. When you brought in that gift, when you brought in that person into your circle, things began to change. You can address it right now. You can address it right now. I'm giving you the opportunity very briefly to address these things. You need to be sensible. You need to be intelligent as you deal with all of this.
Come vavasusa baratesco. Evina nahasa. Ragu gababalande vreso sombena. Cabalante, cabalante. Cabalante, cabalante. Cabalante, cabalante. Asosa capatuna. Ey, kutata. Kuraye la ras. Ehey, kunam babazo. Soza vise selemabra. Aguda yena mamba sosaila. Abraso saiveta. Kambo bode zina. Zinane kaka. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Very briefly, maybe in the next 3 to 5 minutes, we'll do a quick walk here and then we'll pray for our brethren on Zoom community. If you look at the main meat of tonight's meeting, it's not majorly the causes that you occasion, but causes that are placed, that are, you know, pronounced over persons because of other reasons. For the case of Israel, Balak called Balaam, say, come and curse them so that I can defeat them. There are curses that have destroyed your strength. Your potentials are being diminished. Rising up in primary school, secondary school, you were a frontliner, and there were hopes that your life will happen. And then somewhere very abruptly, there was a sharp twist. The end of that has come. Isaiah chapter 10. And I'll just give you this prayer point, and then you're going to pray it aggressively. Isaiah 10:27 say, and it shall come to pass today. You can decide to defer your day of deliverance. That's okay for you. If you can manage your problem, God can manage you while you are managing your problem. But if you say today is that day, then that becomes a day of God's power for your life. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thine shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Why? There is an anointing present here tonight. Somebody go to pray right now. Oh, hold it. While I sat down, the Lord spoke to me about decrees that were made and the persons are dead. You know, when Haman made decree for the annihilation of the Jews, even after he was dead, that decree was still in force. And a counter decree had to be made for Israel to be alive. And the Lord spoke to me about all utterances that were made, and the persons have died, and those decrees are still in force. Those decrees will be removed. Micah chapter 7 verse 11, very fast, and then we'll release one prayer point, all encompassing. Say, in the day that thy walls are to be built. If you see what has been happening during the days that Reverend has been teaching, it has been the rebuilding of walls. In that day shall the decree be far across different generations. It shall be far removed. Right now you're going to pray and say, Father, according to your word, it says that it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be lifted, taken away from off my shoulders, and his yoke from off my neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Father, right now, let the yoke be destroyed. Let the burdens be lifted. The burdens are pronounced, decreed, curses and spells be destroyed right now. Somebody go ahead and do a quick walk. Do a quick walk for yourself. You are not push it the way I need it to pray. Can somebody go ahead right now and break the burden? Let the burden be lifted. Let a yoke be destroyed. Why is marriages becoming difficult to carry? Because a burden has been added to marriage. You go ahead and break. Break it right now. Hey, who has bewitched you? All foolish Galatians, every curse of bewitchment over the call, over the ministry, over the land, over the church, over the nation, we command the burden to be lifted from all our nation, from all our families, of the ministry, of the ministers. We command the burdens to be lifted. The yokes be destroyed. Destroy the yokes. Destroy the yokes. Destroy the yokes. Destroy the yokes. Every curse on your finance, every curse on your hand that makes you to labor, you labor without result. Let that curse break. Karana Zizo, Sabamalante, Evetara, 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 Eratataya, Akadash, Karanadash, Aradash. Let a curse over the marriages, the spell over the children, spells over the works of our hearts, let them scatter. Occultic spells, witchcraft spells, spells from the marine world, negative projections, demonic insinuations. Oh, brakatata, avetatata, aya, 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 aya. Every yoke that's been placed on your ministry, every yoke put on your anointing, every yoke that has been placed on your calling to apply restrictions, to apply limitations. Oh, Nagaya, ta-ta-ta, be scattered. Hey, hey, every burden, every yoke of childlessness, every yoke of barrenness, every yoke of empty-handedness, every yoke of the vagabond spirit that say you will be a wanderer going from place to place and never settled, we command those yoke to scatter, 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 scatter. Every yoke of sickness. Hey, 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 we release the health of the daughter of Zion right now, right now. Somebody press, somebody press, break loose, break loose, break loose. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You need to dip some more, you need to go some depth, some more depth. Some more depth. Suddenly, in a twinkle of an eye, suddenly the change comes. Suddenly the miracle comes. Suddenly the deliverance comes. In a moment, in a moment, in a moment. Maybe your father said no marriage, your uncles said no marriage, and they are dead and they are gone. Right now, you can reverse that decree. You can remove that decree. You can remove that decree. Let it be removed. Let your prosperity be released. Let your progress be released from the clutches, from the grasp, from the grip of curses, of spells. Every utterance of defeat, every decree made over your life to make you vulnerable, make you defeatable, make you destroyable. Hey! We reverse it! We reverse it! We reverse it! By the anointing! Hey! Hey! Every decree that says you must serve a particular deity that is making you to rise and fall as you serve Yahweh, we command that decree to be removed right now. We remove it. 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 Enado Sata. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass today that his burden, I don't know who placed a burden on you. I don't know who put a yoke on you, but surely there is an end. Surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut short. Expectation of liberty, of a better life, of progress, of joy, of marriage, of advancement. That expectation is established right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey. Whoever placed a curse on you did that from the standpoint of priesthood. And here we have a better priesthood. There is a better priesthood. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every curse of defeat and weariness and weakness pronounced over your life, I command it removed in the name of Jesus. Let your strength rise up. Let your glory burst forth, burst forth, burst forth, burst forth in the name of Jesus. The curse of barrenness, childlessness, inability to keep and stay in marriage, we command it shattered and scattered in the name of Jesus. That curse that came on you because of an ill feeling, unhappiness of an authority figure, right now we overrule it in the name of Jesus. Let your womb be open. Every curse on your hands, we command the curse to expire and let there be a blessing installed. Every yoke installed by cursings and spells that hinders movement in destiny, we command that yoke to be destroyed. By the anointing, we command that yoke to be destroyed. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. And we install a new era of a risen glory over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you give the Lord a big shout? In the name of Jesus. Very quickly, we are going to pray for our members online. Very quickly, our media. Let's have the first person.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello, give me the screen in front of me so I don't have to be looking backwards.
My name is Frederick Honora. I'm from Anambra, but I live in South Africa. So about months ago, I was about to lie down in my bed, and as soon as I lay down in my bed, I saw like a woman appeared. I couldn't see her with my eyes, but somehow I managed to know that she was there, and I know how she looks like. And she touched my lips, and when she did that, I got aroused. So it was so much. But at some point, I just got myself, and I rebuked her. I said, "I reject you in Jesus' name," and she disappeared. So last month, or this month, I had a dream, and when I was just helping somebody to move to his new apartment, and a call came to my phone. And when the call came to my phone, I picked it, but I didn't know that it was a video call. So now when I answered it, I saw this old woman. She's white, but she's old woman. And I hid the phone for her not to see me, but she commanded me.
Sorry.
And when she commanded me.
Do you really have to tell us this? Where is the pastor? How come we are not in the prayer room? How come we like with you? See, do you really have to tell us that? Right.
I think we are having a signal crosstalk somewhere. The media help us with that. Please continue. We are with you. Yeah, we are with you. Unmute yourself.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Can we hear the prayer?
Very well.
Can we be a part of the prayer, guys?
Okay.
Good evening. I'm Tifilos, and I'm in Ghana. Hello. Please, can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you.
Someone is still talking, please. Theophilus, hold on.
Oh, okay.
Can we just go ahead and pray with him? Whoever, whatever personality, that's a marine presence, a marine agent that came to touch you there. And I want to believe it's a projected human spirit. It's a soul of a person that was projected to touch you, to bring about those inordinate arousals. Can we rise up, church, and pray and shut down that manifestation and every seed that encounter represents? Let's go ahead and shut it down right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Suzanade levenitasa basu sevo bariaka paraso soventa bana abraskovonta agde gove supras kevo nagadis nesasonde ve ebraso sabila mambekota evailantata kovena zaiman denos. We destroy every demonic appointment, every demonic visitation to manipulate your season, to manipulate your encounters, your visitations from God. Right now, we turn it down. We burn up that encounter in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. We command that strange fire that is intended to set you on the course of iniquity so that you can become vulnerable. We command that fire to be put out in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke every form of marine visitation. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And we project you. We recommend you to the courts of heaven for a visitation. And we appoint over you helpers of war, angelic helpers of war. Help us in the battles in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we have the next person? All right. So our brother that we just prayed for, try to reach out, meet get to Brother Chukwuma on the platform, and then you'll get to us. We'll have a private talk with you. Sister, God bless you. Let's know where you're calling from. Sister Jackie Kingsley?
Hello, can you hear me?
Very well.
Okay. Good evening. I have been looking for a child for the past 4 years now. I got married 2 years ago, and I've been having issues with having a child. Yeah, my husband, we have been praying. I'm very, very overwhelmed right now. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm trusting God for the fruit of the womb. So yeah, that's my main problem.
Church,
I've been having issues, and I've been having small miscarriages, especially when I have when I conceive a month or 2 months, I'll lose it. So yeah, that's my problem.
Can we rise up very briefly and stretch our hands towards our sister Jackie and ask that the Lord will visit her? Oh yes, pray for her. Amen. Oh Saivati. Ebrau Zesefuma Mande. Kombahaktego. Abenantata. 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 Skaboman Batani Sokonvela. Abro Sosailama Abeto. Ekandeveno Susande Levra. Skaboman Binati. Evyoko Mambase. Suzave Lefra Susabama. Eberuakambaras sekelende vrom ba atekoma vaine susate sozai balanta kavo bruce fenembana. Lord, your word said that none shall be barren, and you said that none shall cast her young. Right now, in the name of Jesus, oh kotomi takambo, let the menders of womb touch you right now. Katena, 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 skabota. Aha. We seal up your womb to receive and to keep seed. In the name of Jesus. While we prayed, the picture that came to my mind was about the disciples of Jesus, Peter and John, who were in the boat, and they were mending their nets when Jesus called them. And today we command your womb to be mended and sealed up. Let that leakage, that bleeding, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And according to the time of life, you will bring your testimony. You will bring your testimony according to the time of life. In the name of Jesus, therefore, every mystery of darkness behind this condition of inability to conceive and to bear, we command that mystery nullify by the blood of Jesus. And just the way Jacob set Ephraim before Manasseh, I give you your children right now. Take your children. And every person streaming online on ground who is believing the Lord for the fruit of the womb, I give you your children right now, boys and girls, in the name of Jesus Christ. Within the next 3 days, sister, there's going to be a surgery that will be performed on you, and you will have those encounters in the dreams. The menders will come. The menders will come. They will rearrange your womb. They will rearrange your womb. In 3 days, there will be that encounter. The angels of God will visit you, and they will touch you. And there are others who are streaming and listening who are saying, yes, 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 I need my own baby. I need my own baby. And you are requesting for baby for your sister in particular. It is done in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sister has been married for 7 years. No issue yet. The Lord visit your sister. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Maybe we'll take one more person. All right. Your name, where you're streaming from?
Comfort Tamara. Need my mic.
Bro, we are with you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm streaming from the Republic of Ireland. So I'll be experiencing delay in marriage, limitation, even in my finance. If I go to an extent, I won't grow more than an extent. One issue will come, I will spend the money just like that. Even sometimes when I see myself having something in the dream, a good thing in the dream, and that same night I will have cellular pollution, or somebody will steal the thing from me. Sometimes if it's a shoe, they will steal it from me. You know, I'll be having series of attack. Even I think last week I was in a dream. Somebody broke the bottle and threw the piece of the bottle to me. So the bottle hung in one of my leg. Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Are you done talking? Are you okay?
No, yeah, and even in education in my family, I find that some of us can't really finish school. You know, when they are getting to the end, they start having issues.
All right, can we rise up and stretch our hands towards our brother? And we're going to use him as a point of contact to everyone online on ground who, when you begin to come to a level of financial fortune and breakthrough manifestation, you have these sexual encounters or negative dream encounters and everything start going southward. Can we stretch our hands towards him and use him as a point of contact and command that ceiling, that limitation to be broken? Let that covenant that binds you to this strange spirit, let that covenant be broken right now. Let it be broken right now. We bring you to the General Assembly, to the Church of the Firstborn. Oh, yes, to the General Assembly, where we have the blood of sprinkling, an innumerable company of angels. Kobanas, Ragadiso Fanibe, Barasu Satamabo, Vio Consaba. Every marital embargo, financial embargo, every ceiling that has been set by demons. Right now, we take authority over those demon spirits. We cast them out of your space. We cast them out of your universe, out of your experience, in the name of Jesus. And we command freedom. Be free indeed. For if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. We set you loose. Be loose in the name of Jesus. Be loose in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
And we command our land to favor you.
Amen.
Every spirit that makes slaves of the land where you're dwelling, we command the grip and the stranglehold of that spirit to break from off your life.
Amen.
And we command our land to make room for you, so that like Joseph, you will prosper and rule in a strange land, in the name of Jesus Christ. We release your marriage.
Amen.
We release your marriage.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And today we anoint you as the first fruit of those who are free. The first fruit of those who enter into liberty in your family. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Okay, let's take just one more person and then we're done. You are the one with the last lucky chance. So let's know your name and where you're calling from. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Welcome to church.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. My name is Uche. I'm calling from Germany. Actually, today is my first time tuning in from my sister. I've been having delay in marriage. I just got out of a surgery 3 weeks ago for fibroids, and I've been having spiritual suppression. Each night I try to sleep, something presses me. I keep screaming Jesus and no one can hear me. And the next thing, probably I have an interview, it doesn't come up positive. And I keep having these sexual dreams also while I'm asleep. So it's just been in and out of surgeries and setbacks. So I want everyone to pray for me for God's freedom and help. Thank you.
The Bible says that when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be removed. There is a veil covering you that your real identity is not being seen. Can we rise up this evening and pray for our sister? Let's command every veil that covers and hides her. Let the veil be removed. Let the veil be removed. Every covering that when people see you, they don't get to see you, they see something else. Let's command that veil to burn up. Let it burn up. Let it burn up. Let it be burnt up. We burn that covering. That blindfold that hides your reality, that hides your beauty, that hides your strength, that conceals your advantage and the positive things of your life. We command that veil and that covering to burn up right now. That blindfolding spirit, we rebuke you, we rebuke you, we rebuke you, we rebuke you, we rebuke you. Every spirit laying claim, any form of claim, marital claim, proprietary claim over your life, we arrest that spirit right now and we cast that spirit out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, covanambre, sugavanambarakas, covena, aborto, convenina, scobolantena, barasco. Every argument around you, every negative argument, every negative claim, right now, by the blood of Jesus, we destroy that claim, we destroy that claim, we destroy that claim, every claim of ownership, we destroy it right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, men do not light a lamp and put it on that bushel, but they set it upon the lampstand that it may give illumination to everyone. Today we put you upon the lampstand of destiny. We place you upon the lampstand of your destiny in the name of Jesus. And we command a recovery, a restoration of lost time for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we decree a garment of favor and acceptance upon you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We place a new name upon you. Hephzibah. Hephzibah. The one in whom there is so much delight. If you have three men coming to seek your hand in marriage, just know that the protocol has been set in motion. Different persons, because you'll become a delightsome person, highly attractive person in career, in marriage, and all around. We place a new name upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And somebody is here, you are saying, I need that name. We put it upon you also. We put that name upon you also. You'll become delighted in. Delighted in. We activate divine acceptance, human acceptance upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you give the Lord a big shout of praise? A big, big shout of praise. I said a big, 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 big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Let's be seated briefly. Let's cause the offering basket to go round. Hallelujah. There is a radical change going on around this fast, and we have entered into more of receiving and collection time. These are the moments where you take in spoils, you take in booties, you divide spoils. And I'll be ready. Let your faith stay active, sensitive, and receptive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tomorrow is going to be the 31st day of the fast. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And God has been faithful this far. He that has begun a good work in us is going to perfect it in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if they say people died, people were killed, it's not going to be you. And it's not going to come close to you. There is no evil that will come near your tent, and there is no scourge that will come nigh your dwelling place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we activate the mystery of divine exemptions, divine exceptions, divine exclusions from harm. Your path and that of the destroyer will not cross in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. 4 p.m. tomorrow, we are here. You're streaming this meeting online. The account details are on display. Make use of it for both your offering, the service offering for the special sacrifice, for your tithes, whatever commitments and vows you've made. Let's make use of the account details for all of that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.